So this bolt of lightning shot across the universe and inspired me with the idea that we have to do a podcast. And that's what I wanted to tell you. We should do a podcast. Okay, bye.
Oh my God, I'm ready. I mean, are we ever really ready for
always.
What we're about to talk about?
We are 100% about? Ready, poised, and ready to leap into action. Here we go.
We are on it.
Doodle-doo, doodle-doo. There's like the, I'm imagining the, our intro noise.
Yes.
All right. Anyway, welcome to Feature Creep,
built-in microwave, semicolon. I mean, you were on the right track.
I was on the
right
track.
I wasn't going to stop
you. Yeah, but I didn't want to talk over you.
Oh, thanks.
What's the name of this one? Oh, Boomer Phone Etiquette.
That we've observed personally.
Yes.
I suspect you can extrapolate to the generality, but
yes,
who knows?
Yeah.
Our families are notoriously weird and
yeah. I mean,
difficult.
I have a certain respect for some of it, but we'll get to it. In many ways, I think yours contrasts with mine. So maybe I'll start with mine. Where
okay,
I think
yeah.
There's a certain very genuineness to this story. So my dad, I grew up before cell phones. You grew up before cell phones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
But when my dad got a cell phone, he was not a Luddite. Like he could, you know, he worked in software engineering and absolutely can manage his way around a computer and new programs and learn shit and no problem. But his ingrained phone etiquette was one that, like, he grew up before answering machines. Now, I think answering machines maybe existed just before I was born. I want to know when the first answering machine. So the first answering machine was actually invented by Danish engineer Valdemar Poulsen in 1898. A $200 answering machine, according to Wikipedia, was available in 1930.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's pretty early.
Yeah, but there was another early model that was introduced in 1966, which I'm imagining is like kind of more like, you know, what people might actually, consumers might be able to buy. But anyway, my point is, like, my dad grew up in a house where there was no answering machine. So if the phone was ringing, you answered it.
Yeah, or you might miss something.
You might miss something really important. And, you know, people called for very good reason. Or not, but like, you know.
You couldn't tell.
You couldn't tell. You had no way to know.
Right.
And if you missed that call, then it was gone and you'd never know. So I can imagine for my dad, there's a certain level of anxiety about making sure you answer the phone if it's ringing. Like, it needs to get answered because otherwise, how would you know?
I mean, in a way, it's almost like really traumatic. It used to be really traumatic. If you missed an important phone call, it was like, fuck. And so,
yes.
Like, I feel like those of us who were born and raised before all the fancy technology that we live with now, like,
right.
That helps you make these complicated decisions about whether to answer or not and who's there and
right.
What you're going to say to them, all this stuff that didn't exist. So now we all have like a trauma response to a ringing phone. Like, you got to get it.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And so one of the quirks of this, I think, that I've experienced was that when I was younger, when he first got a cell phone and I would call him from time to time, like when I was living away at college or, you know, I would call him and sometimes he would answer the phone and he'd be like whispering into the phone. And he'd be like, what is it? And I'd be like, hey, Dad, like just calling to see how it's going. And he's like, oh, I can't talk right now. And I could hear in the background like a lot of noise, like a band. And he's like, I'm at rehearsal. And so he'd literally be answering the phone in the middle of like band rehearsal. And like, he's like, okay, I gotta hang up. And like, it's just like, why did you answer the phone?
Why did
like,
you answer the phone?
Yeah. Like he was at the time playing trombone or tuba, which I think he still does. Like I don't remember which at the time, but he was, you know, in a concert band rehearsal setting where, you know, the director is trying to probably get people to play a piece. I could hear the piece being played in the background. So it was like, what are you doing right now? And
it's like such bad form.
And like, yeah, but like, it's also, like I said, it's kind of that, like, I, from my point of view, I think I understand that kind of deep desire that, like, I need to answer the phone. It's ringing. It's important. Like, how can I not answer the phone? I won't know. And there's other times where I remember when I was a kid, I would call and it'd be like he was at work and he'd have that same kind of like high anxiety like vibe going on where I'm like, well, then why do you have a phone? Like don't answer it if you can't talk right now. Like it's
I've had this happen so many times and it's always like it's always people in my experience has been always people who grew up with the like not the phone ringing trauma, the like, oh my God, you got to get it because you might miss something.
Right.
Even though that's 100% not the case. Situation changed, right? Yep. Who knows for how long?
Right.
we may go back to the whole like not having phones thing if we rapidly deindustrialize by accident. But like, it's funny to me that it's all these, the older people, I guess people older than us, which is boomers, right? Like,
yeah.
Our parents' generation who like will answer the phone and then be angry at you that you called because they're in the middle of something. And it's like, then fucking don't answer.
Right.
Like, I mean, that would have even been true back in the day, right? Like, if something very pressing is going on in the immediate, then you're not going to get to the phone and you can explain it later or whatever if you have to. But I just love getting like angrily bitched at place a phone call and I'm like, okay, clearly I've interrupted you during a tense moment.
Right.
I'm gonna let you go.
Yeah.
In my case, which is sort of like the counterpoint to your example because it's much meaner and crazier. So my whole family started a text group that included my dad and most of his siblings and then all of my cousins and my brother and a bunch of people because my cousin Nate died. And so everybody was in a group chat about that and like dealing with it. And at some point, whoever set up the group chat included a phone number of a person who was not related to us. And I'm sure it was like a typo. In fact, I'm sure that this person's phone number was like one digit off the phone number of somebody we're actually related to.
Yeah.
And I wish I had saved the text chat because it was so funny. And it'd be the type of thing that like...
I remember you showing me this.
Yes. For like decades, we'd be laughing about this like because it's so iconic of like... It was the zeitgeist, right, at the time. So anyway, this was about like 7-6 years ago, something like that. And we were on a boat going across San Diego Bay and all of this was unfolding. And, you know, you can get a cell phone reception out on the water. So I'm sitting there like as this is unfolding.
Yeah.
And I'm
so I had roped Meg into helping me shuttle my boat back from the boatyard. So we just had like a little outboard on a 22-foot sloop rig with the sails down. So we were just kind of motoring along pretty slow.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, pretty slow. It took a few hours,
like 4 or 5 miles an hour, you know,
and we were totally prepared for that. But like the peace and tranquility of this like sort of experience that would have been otherwise very nice was like shattered by my insane family. And so everybody's like, you know, I'm not even gonna say understandably upset. Everybody in that chat, there was maybe like 15 people in that chat or something. All of them were upset about the situation of my cousin's death for different reasons.
Okay.
First of all, so there's a lot of like anger going on top of the fact that he's dead and people are mourning. So like some people are really sad. Some people are really angry. And this woman who we accidentally roped into this chat, I didn't say anything the whole time. I just observed passively, even though I was in the chat. This woman speaks up like several.
The one with the wrong number.
Yes, the one with the wrong number,
yeah.
Whose name is Melissa, it turns out, because she told us, she's like, hi, my name is Melissa. I'm not related to anyone in this chat, and I think that you included me by accident.
Yes.
Right? She's trying to, like, see her way out of a chat that is, for the record, heavily weighted in favor of boomers, as opposed to, our generation or younger.
And this was during a time when... you get on a text chat, you can't get out without other people agreeing to take you. Like everyone has to go to a new text chat because.
Yeah. So she couldn't just like be like, I'm deleting myself from this chat or whatever. Like she was in for the long haul because somebody put her there.
Yes. Yeah.
Because they can't fucking read.
Right.
So I still don't know who it was that created the chat. And this Melissa woman says, hey, it's me. I'm Melissa. I'm not actually related to you. And then two of my boomer relatives, my father and his sister, my aunt, whose name is Mary.
Yeah.
And my mom's name is also Mary, who is not my aunt. So this gets very confusing.
Yeah.
My aunt Mary says, this is not Melissa. You're lying. We know that this is so-and-so, and it was whichever one of my relatives they were actually trying to connect with on this group chat that they made the typo.
Yeah.
We were just at your house. What are you talking about? And then my dad tries to explain to this Melissa woman that the person doing the talking is my Aunt Mary, but my dad types, this is Mary. Which would be self-referential because it's a chat. And so, and then my dad says something like, your Aunt Mary. And so whoever this was like, Melissa says, I don't have an Aunt Mary. And then my Aunt Mary in the chat says, yes, you fucking do. Why are you behaving like this? Right? And so I'm watching this like tennis match of insanity going back and forth. I feel terrible for Melissa because this person is clearly observing etiquette and trying to extricate herself from something that it is obviously not her business to be a part of.
Right.
And my family is like, you fucking liar.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be here. You're not getting out of this that easily. We were just at your house. You know who this is. And my dad's like self-identifying as someone he is not. Right. So like, it's very confusing. And she's like, no, I'm telling you, my name is Melissa. I think you included me by accident. I've never met any of you. I don't have an Aunt Mary. I'm sorry to be involved in what is obviously like a very private situation. Can you please like let me out of the chat? And so because she's like explaining that this is in some ways a hardship for her, my cousin Adley, who's dead Nate's brother.
Yes.
And who is very upset on a number of levels, both sad and mad about the situation, says, shit happens, Melissa. And I'm just like, oh my God, our family is the worst group of people ever. Like, maybe not ever. I mean, there's a lot of terrible people to compare to, but like,
for sure.
They just like dogpiled on this stranger who's, through no fault of her own, got roped into our tense family situation, and then they wouldn't let her leave and called her a liar and disparaged her. And then when they realized she was right, they were like, well, fuck you anyway. You know? And it's all because of the tone set by the boomers in that conversation. I'm confident of that.
That double down on shit is like, it really bothers me in some ways, because I just think that there's such an opportunity to turn shit around, like, real quick.
Yes.
And instead it's just like, no, full speed ahead and make it worse, go.
Yeah. This is the dick train to assholeville. You're on it.
Yeah.
You know, it's this poor woman. Oh my God, poor Melissa. I've always wanted, on some level, I mean, I never would, because like, our family's done enough already, but I always wanted to like text her and be like, hey, I was in that chat too, and I'm really sorry about these people, and I'm related to them, and that's why I didn't say anything in the chat.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
I'm sorry they assaulted you.
Right.
Yeah. You didn't deserve that.
Yeah.
Exactly. I would like to say that this is the treatment you received is only because all of these people are very upset about a recent and painful incident, but this is really just how they are all the time.
Right. Just all the time.
So, just so you know.
God.
God. So bad. Oh, bad. But yeah, that was like, I just remember that in the context of the boat ride, like encapsulated in a boat ride across the bay, like in this, the contrast of how like ugly that situation was and how beautiful the boat ride was, just like super absurd in its juxtaposition.
So good.
Oh my God. So yeah, that's what I was thinking of with the boomer phone etiquette thing. Like that time my family attacked a stranger who they invited. Yes. Because they don't understand how text messaging
works. It was so good.
Oh my God. Do we have a dinger for this one?
Yeah, I'm going to ask right now.
My God.
What kind of question should I ask?
Oh God.
All right. So last episode. I don't know when we're going to publish it. I mean, it will have come before this one. So if you listen to all of them, last time we asked ChatGPT 4.0, what's the dumbest thing you've ever heard? And it said a flat earther claiming that gravity isn't real, but somehow planes still land. Should I just ask for another?
Yes. Ask the second dumbest thing you've
what
ever heard.
What is the second dumbest thing you have ever heard? A guy once argued that birds aren't real while feeding pigeons in a park.
Ooh, that feels real. That, see, this second level down, and it just kind of falls apart for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's, do you want me to ask it to explain?
Yes, explain thyself.
So I said, can you please explain that a little bit? I want to also preface this that I asked these questions, but then I instructed it to please keep your answers to one sentence. That's why we're getting these one sentence responses. So this one I asked it to keep the answer to three sentences. Can you explain that a little bit? And ChatGPT says, he was passionately insisting that all birds were government surveillance drones while tossing breadcrumbs to a group of very alive, very hungry pigeons. When someone pointed out the irony, he doubled down, complaining the robot pigeons were just recharging by eating. The conversation ended when one of the drones pooped on his shoulder.
Oh, my God.
I mean, this is pretty funny, but it's definitely, I don't know. It is what you.
It's weird because it the way that it's written implies a singular perspective of like an observer who was there in real time.
Yes. Yeah.
Like this was a real thing that really happened, and this subject was there to witness it, and they're telling you in retrospect from their point of view.
Right.
Isn't that weird?
It is weird. Yeah.
It's weird.
So, I was going to say I forgot to add the front matter, which is welcome to our podcast, which I think I said.
Oh, right.
But if you're still listening and you would like to send us an email, we'd love to hear from you. You can email Dana. Now, Dana is a very important person. She is the founder and CEO of this podcast, and you can find her at dana@fcbm.io, or you can go to fcbm.io and find all of our email addresses. But send us an email. Tell us what you think. Leave us feedback, or, you know, give us, I don't know, whatever. Do things. Participate.
Yeah.
Or don't. Just listen. Or don't. All good.
Whatever.
Or don't listen. I don't know. This is a very non-monetized podcast. If you go to the website, there's also no advertising. I think there's generally no tracking, mostly because it's broken now and we have no impetus to fix it. So.
Right. Done. And, notes on content. I think the beauty of our podcast is that someday it will be taken as a whole body of work.
Yes.
And then it will be impressive. And up to that time, who can say?
Who can say? Yeah. We just have to find out.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Thanks, everybody. Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye.